Thanks, everyone, for joining Gabrielle and I on our next installment of our CMSC Media podcast, where we're going to cover the benefits of a headless CMS and should you be using one. I know that a lot of companies are jumping on the bandwagon for the right reasons and some for the wrong reasons. So we really want to look at if switching to headless CMS solution is really good for certain businesses, what some of the critical things people need to be thinking about are, and then just kind of what scenarios headless fits well with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're also going to have a special guest joining us as well, Heather McFadden. She's the VP, Director of Production, and Senior CMS Analyst from Falcon Software, who we'll get to chat to later on, so make sure you keep listening or watching. And to give you a bit of background on the company, Falcon Software is actually a digital agency, digital experience agency founded in 1993, actually. And they offer web-based consulting, marketing, design, development, and, of course, implementation, and ongoing support for all digital needs. So, So Laura, let's start off with the benefits of a headless CMS, and should you be using one?
Yeah, the thing that I like about headless, I think in all aspects, whether it's like headless content or headless commerce or whatever, is it really, I mean, some people think that when you're siloing something, it's a bad thing, but I sort of see it as a good thing. You're sort of, especially when it comes to headless content management, you have all your content in one place.
Yeah.
So you know where it's all coming from, so you need to worry less about random bits of content and imagery kind of pinned here and there. Mm-hmm. And you kind of know where you need to go to make changes and make updates and stuff like that. Like, I think about it in sort of like a real thing where you have, you know, this compartment and it's everything you need and it's an organized file folder of all your content, all your images and everything.
Yeah.
Versus having this pinboard wall of, you know, this image here and that bit of content here. And then when you're thinking, I want to change this image, now I have to find every single place that that image or that piece of content lives, then I have to make that update. So I think a really big benefit that way is that everything's in one place. If you need to make changes, you know where to go. And the other thing, too, is with that separation, there's kind of pros and cons to this. So there's the separation where you have all your content in one place and then you have a display. So they're separated, so you're not, if you're making changes in the back end, you're not risking messing something in the front end either, which is nice. But that can have kind of issues later on, which we'll kind of cover. But the other thing is that you really have that faster time to market when it comes to a lot of stuff. So you're not going to find your team bogged down with creating an image or creating a bit of content and thinking, okay, now I have to figure out how it's going to look on every place that it's going to be.
Yeah.
You can just like get it done and get it out, get it done and get it out, and trust that the front end it's going to kind of work, which is good. The downside to that is you can't always preview. So I think like with me, other people might not have a problem with that. Other people might trust the front end to do what they need it to do. But for me, I'm really a tester. I mean, as you are too, right? So
agreed.
You want to know what it's going to look like on the front end. So I think for me, I would probably eventually be able to build up that trust in the front end to look how I want it to look. But I would have to kind of build some trust equity with my technology before I could really do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I agree that, you know, the content can be published to website, app, or anything connected to the Internet of Things. Mm-hmm. So I think that is a really big benefit as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And then for developers, they can use tools that they're most comfortable with too. Mm-hmm. So say mobile developers especially, they can benefit from that because of the API that allows them to deliver content to like the iOS or an Android app all in the same backend. So I like that.
Absolutely.
So Laura, what are the important considerations that organizations need to think about before moving to a headless approach, do you think?
I think the biggest thing, and we'll talk about this later with Heather, but digital maturity is such a big factor. Mm-hmm. So you need to make sure, you know, when you're shopping for technology or you're really enthralled with all these buzzwords about, you know, headless content management and all that stuff, there are tons of benefits.
Yeah.
But you have to make sure you have enough digital maturity on your team to execute on that. And if you don't, you have to think about factoring into your budget any education or assistance you're going to need from an outside entity to make it really work for you. Mm-hmm. Because if you need to get your ROI, you have to know how to use it. And you really shouldn't skip that step. And also, really evaluate your needs. It's like you go back to picking a CMS. You have to figure out what, you know, what model you want. Mm-hmm. If you want, maybe on-premises is better for your business model. Maybe headless is better for your business model. Really kind of evaluate the pros and cons of each and make sure that it's the best fit for your business.
Yeah.
You know, that being said, you need to make sure it's going to get where you want to go. Like, if there's for example, one of the things they say about headless is it can't always effectively personalize because it has that kind of that distance between the content and delivery. Mm-hmm. So in order to accurately personalize, there has to be a lot of information collected in that space.
Yeah.
So there are lots of things that you can add in to get that information. And there are some companies that offer headless CMS that has that intelligence baked in, but it's not a given. So that's the kind of thing people really have to think about. If personalization is a big part of your strategy and you're missing that piece and you go with headless, that's going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have that add-on technology to make that work. That said, if headless has other, like, faster time to market's great. You want, you know, you have a lot of cooks in the kitchen when it comes to content and you want that one place they can all be, then it's really great for you. But yeah, you really have to think what's the best fit for your team and kind of go there, because it's not, you know, it's not like this magic platform that's going to solve all your problems.
Exactly. And you want to also document your content strategy too.
Exactly.
And think of it from that aspect as well and evaluate your business values and, you know, is that going to work for you going for with a fully featured CMS or a headless CMS?
Yeah.
So it really comes down to what works for your business and the goals for your organization's essential needs. So
yeah.
So lastly, what situations are best suited for a headless approach, do you think?
Mm-hmm. I think you really have to think about your delivery format and how expansive you want to go with your engagement strategy. I think that headless is a good fit for companies that really want to go full bore with touch points. And really, I mean, I feel like I always talk about this on every podcast, but like the number of touch points is increasing exponentially. And so headless is really going to allow you to keep up with that. So if that's a really important part of your business model, headless is a good fit for you.
Yeah.
I also think, like I said before, if headless is a good fit, if you have a lot of cooks in the kitchen when it comes to content, because when you're thinking about headless content management, there's a lot that you can do to streamline the creating and authoring of content and organizing all the repositories that content sits in a little bit of a better way. And so you can kind of work with multiple stakeholders when you're looking at the content strategy and work together in creating that and also working together to create that dynamic workflow of content as well.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that headless really works at. One of the things that people have to be careful with, though, is because if you have a team where you have no developers or you have very few developers or they're kind of bogged down with other things, headless doesn't offer you the ability to repurpose templates like you would with something like WordPress. So if you really rely heavily on that to spin up sites quickly or spin up pages quickly, headless is not going to offer that to you. So that's kind of the downside if that's something your business really relies on. You don't really have that with headless because it's separated from the front end. That said, the separation really gives a lot of flexibility and creativity and freedom to how the content's displayed on the front end. So if you do have really creative and talented developers on your team, absolutely let them at the headless system.
Yeah.
Because they do have that much creativity when it comes to that. And I know some people think that designers are creative and developers aren't, but I think, like, a bit of a side note, I think that that's really changing. I think that developers, as technology gets more and more expansive in what you can do, I think developers are becoming much more creative, which I really like.
Definitely.
And I think if you have, like I said, if you have that team that can kind of create those cool experiences on the front end, then headless is a really good idea for you. Because I think that they could really make some serious magic there.
Yeah, agreed. And I think that, you know, if there's the same content that's being published across multiple delivery platforms, that's a good thing as well to use that. And then, but like what you said, like if you have a more simpler project, then maybe WordPress is maybe the site for you to go with. So
Exactly.
So as I had mentioned above, we have a special guest joining us today.
Yeah, we're going to be talking to Heather McFadden, the VP Director of Production and Senior CMS Analyst at Falcon Software. I actually talked to her a couple years ago, actually.
Yeah,
We had one interview. We talked about Sitecore. She's one of those people where I think I've learned the most about content management from her and just the expansive knowledge she has.
I know.
So, like, she's worked there for, like, 20-ish years.
Yeah.
You know, she'd hate if I said that. But and so she's seen so many implementation projects happen. So I feel like if there's a problem you could think of, she's had a solution because she's seen it happen.
Yeah,
so
agreed.
I just love that. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So we're going to talk about the topics that we mentioned above.
Yeah.
So,
perfect.
Let's jump right in.
Awesome. Hello, Heather. How are you doing today?
Hi, Laura. I'm doing really well. Thank you.
That's great to hear. So when we're kind of talking about the headless movement, as you know, what would you say are the biggest pros to moving to a headless approach?
The biggest benefit people are going to gain is that you're separating your content from your presentation. So no longer is your content management connected or tied to your front-end system. And so that means that you're open to managing your content separately. Your developers can use whatever tools that they're comfortable with. to create the web app, to create the website, to create your mobile app, whatever it is that they're creating. So they find a lot more freedom in being able to choose that, and you can share your content more easily with other websites. That's part of your strategy. Theoretically, you could, you're future-proofing your system as well. So theoretically, down the road, a few years down the road, if you decide you want to swap out one front-end technology for another, you can do that without affecting your content or having to redo your content.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, being a marketer, it's always a good idea to be thinking one step ahead to future-proofing your system so, you know, it works well with your content. So what are some important considerations companies need to evaluate to ensure that headless is the right move for them?
That's a big subject, and it's actually going to vary based on the change based on the organization or the company that you're dealing with. So the one thing to keep in mind is that you can't just change and swap out a headless CMS for a traditional CMS. There's a lot of features and elements and modules that come with traditional CMSs that we've come to expect. You don't get those when you decide to move to a headless CMS approach. You're really saying, I'm going to take my content and I'm going to separate it out, and all I'm going to do is manage my content. So now what you're going to build your mobile app, or you're going to build your website, now you have to consider, what am I going to use for search? Because no longer can I rely on the CMS for that. What am I going to use for presentation? How are my business users going to be able to preview the content that they're creating and how it's going to look in the final presentation? Because I no longer have that presentation layer. So you're going to have to go down a strategy of either setting up a separate staging site that uses some sort of a preview API that allows them to actually access it. It's just not quite as easy as let's click a preview button that we get with the traditional CMSs and see what it's going to look like. And there's a big mind shift that's going to have to happen in organizations when they're changing to a headless approach. You know, we've come to get accustomed to the traditional CMSs that allow non-technical users and business users to be able to manage and control the way the pages look on the front end. And you just don't get that with a headless CMS, or not easily. Translations, multi-language is another one challenge that they have to think about. You know, traditional CMSs have language switching tools that come with them that allow you to manage that. You now have to build that. If you're going to go a headless approach, you don't have that any longer. You have to build that. They also come with some inherent features that, while they make it easier on developers, they don't have to think about certain things as they develop the site. About metadata anymore, not to the extent that you do with headless. You don't have to think about your content hierarchy, because you build your hierarchy within that traditional CMS. You don't do that in the headless CMS. Headless CMS is just a content repository, and you have to think about the structure. You have to think about the content, and when you build your web app or you build your mobile app, you have to actually build that content hierarchy and security and authorization actually into your application on the front end. So it's very developer-centric. So you really need to consider your resources. If you don't have a lot of developers, this may not be the approach for you.
Yeah, the conversation on digital maturity is such an important one to kind of think about it in that aspect. So now, there's a lot of organizations that think headless will solve all their problems, but they don't really know the downside. So what would you say some of those are?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's interesting. You don't get caught up in the hype, right? So when it's the glossy brochure, you know, we can always look at a new system and go, hey, look at this. There's all these cool things that we can do and all these benefits that we can get from it. But you really have to look at, every organization has to look at what they really need to do. So while the downsides for some could be the positives for another. So the fact that headless is developer-centric is great for some organizations, because they have the resources available that they can actually manage and maintain and support this and their applications moving forward now and in the future, like through implementation, through to support and sustainability. But for other organizations that might be relying on external resources to do a lot of that work, it might be some budget constraints that we don't have the budget that we can always bring in the external resources to manage all that moving forward. The other downside is again, it's just understanding what you're not going to get with a CMS. So not jumping in and going, oh, I'm buying on board with this. I'm just going to jump in and do it. You want to think about and plan out what it is that you have to do. What am I going to replace some of these modules with? What am I going to, how am I going to do search? How am I going to handle forms? How am I going to handle my marketing? For companies that are using, a best of breed approach right now with their CMS solutions, they're not probably going to have as hard a time and the downsides will be less. For the companies that are not, that are using this sort of all-in-one suite approach to their CMS, they're going to have a harder transition or there's going to be a steeper transition for them to move to a headless approach, and they're going to really have to get their business users to buy in. Because if you don't have your business users and your developers all sort of in sync and your organization in sync that way, you're not going to have successful.
And what types of projects are best suited for a headless approach, would you say?
I don't know if I want to look at it as, I would suggest looking at it so much as a project base, but as an organization base. If you're trying to manage multiple websites, you having a central location where all of that content is managed, you can just leverage that content, manage it once, and you can leverage it in your multiple channels, the same content, that's great. And that means that this is a really good approach for you. If you're trying to do any kind of native mobile apps and websites, if you're just trying to do a responsive website and that's all you're really managing is that one channel, it may be a bit of overkill because of the sort of developer-centricness of the, if that's a word, of the approach. But I think that it's important for you to look at what it is that you want to achieve. What are you trying to do? What are you trying to do in your digital marketing? What are your goals? Are you trying to do a lot of personalization? If you're trying to do a lot of personalization and try to really cater to your different markets and your different channels, you need to have a tool. You can use headless CMS as a piece of it, but you need to have a tool that you can use on top of that to actually be able to garner that and be able to leverage any personalization. So it's more of a as opposed to a project base, it's more of a goal base. What are your goals? What are you trying to achieve? If you've got a lot of applications, a lot of websites, headless CMS is a great approach because you've got one location for all of your content. And I think that's really the way to look at it is what do you focus on your content? What is your content and where do you want to use it? And if it's, I want one content source and multiple places to use it, great approach.
Awesome. Well, that's all the questions we have for you, Heather. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Laura.
That was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like talking to her. Like, as you mentioned, she's just such a wealth of knowledge mm-hmm. in the industry, and especially from an implementation standpoint.
Yeah.
It's so great to talk to her about these kinds of things. And
yeah.
So.
Yeah. Partners can really have a great, implementation partners can have a great perspective on the space, you know, like, because they deal with the customer. I mean, not saying the vendors don't deal with the customers, mm-hmm. but they're kind of like in the trenches with the customers figuring out this technology. So, you know, it, like I said, if there's any problem, they've usually seen it. Or they really have the touchstone on what the struggles are that customers are having. So they're a really great resource to go to for information.
Yeah.
What I love about talking to Heather is she was speaking very critically about headless. Mm-hmm. And, like, again, I know that I've said this a couple times, but being where we are and kind of absorbing a lot of the content and media out there and how people are marketing different parts of technology, there is this notion that headless is this, you know, magical thing that's going to solve all your problems.
Yeah.
And so I like that she kind of brings that critical eye and really evaluates it.
Yeah.
And gives a really good perspective.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for watching and or tuning in. So tune in next time.